Hey friends, welcome to the Great Things Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Herring. Let's be honest, things aren't going too great in the world right now. I think we can all agree on that. But I've got some good news. This space is created for you to join in on conversations of how sometimes the hardest, lowest moments of our lives can produce the greatest joys. So come on in and jump on this virtual couch with me as we talk about some good news and great things. Welcome back to Great Things. I'm really excited for y'all to meet my friend Eunice. She's an incredible musician, a hardworking CEO, and an amazing storyteller. For a long time now, I've wanted to have a conversation with her on here because God has done some seriously great things in her life, and I want her to share them with you guys. So let's jump right into it. My girl, Eunice, I am so excited that you are with me today.
I am excited to be here.
You know, when I thought about people, even from the beginning in the planning stages of this podcast, you were always one of the very first people that came to mind to have a conversation with. And so I'm so glad that we're finally able to get to do that today. You have such powerful stories. I would say a powerful testimony, but you have multiple testimonies of God's goodness in your life. And you've also been such an impactful friend to me. Just the way that you've loved me so well through the past couple of years has been amazing. So this is really exciting for me.
I'm really excited to be here. And I'm also so happy that our paths crossed. And if I remember correctly, when I first met you, you asked me to curl your hair.
Absolutely. Yep. Yes, I did.
Yep. Campfire smell and everything, you know, it was at a retreat that we did and, or that we all got invited to, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And with no words, you just, you know, with your hands just kind of signaled, you know, can
it's
you
the universal sign for, can you curl my hair? Like you were in the middle of curling your hair and I was like, whatever you're doing, I want to. So
it was in that moment that I knew our friendship was meant to be. Thank you so much for having me, Lindsay.
Yeah, of course. So for anyone who doesn't know you, who is Eunice Rodriguez?
Well, I was born and raised in Baytown, Texas. It's close to Houston, Texas, east side of Houston. And born and raised in this small town. And I have also served alongside my parents. They were pastors at our church for 27 years. And a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half ago, my father passed away. He was the senior pastor for 27 years of our church. And I was practically his right-hand worship pastor at our church as well. And I've been doing that for a really long time. I started singing when I was 11. That's when I started actually leading worship. I was like 11 years old. That's probably another story for another day, how that all even came to be. But I started singing and just singing at my church, using my gifts and my talents. And the older I grew, the more, you know, my parents started just trusting my voice and not just my singing voice, but my leadership. I the qualities that God had already just instilled inside of me, even at a young age. And they just started believing in the next generation. And I'm so grateful for parents and leaders like that in my life. And my parents led the church, a beautiful church there in Baytown, for 27 years. And a year and a half ago, when the Lord called my dad to come home, my brother-in-law and my younger sister were already associate pastors, and they became lead pastors of the church. And so it's been amazing to see, you know, what we thought at some point when my father's passing, you know, it was so unexpected for us. And even in that time, it was so many things were not clear. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what was going to happen with the church, with our family, with just so much unknown territory. Yeah. And we've seen the hand of the Lord. It's crazy to see how God really does know our story from beginning to end before we do. And he's already walked out even the difficult parts of our life before we have. We're just walking it out, trusting the Lord every step of the way as he builds our faith.
Yes.
And And so my brother-in-law and my sister became pastors of the church. The church is flourishing. It's growing. It's beautiful to see a new generation of young people and families, young families coming to the church. Not only multi-generational, but multicultural, you know. So we're a bilingual church there in our city. And I lead an incredible team of worshipers and creative people in our media department there at the church. And on top of that, almost 4 years ago, I get a call from a dear friend of mine. His name is Marcos Witt, and he is in the Latin community, Christian community. He is very well known. I would compare him to the Michael W. Smith, you know, of what people would know listening to this podcast, you know. And so that is what he would be to us. Like, he was the guy that started the movement of worship many, many years ago when it was not a thing, when the only thing people sang in Hispanic and Latin churches were maybe the hymn book at the most, you know. And so he started kind of causing this revolution with a new sound of worship. And he has now been doing ministry, I think, like over 5 years now. And so 27 years ago, he actually founded the very first worship school in his hometown of Durango, Mexico. And it's now become worship schools that are all over the world. And for almost 4 years ago, I got a call from him saying, hey, you know, what are you doing? And so we already had a friendship, him and his wife, myself. We've been friends for a while. I even sang on one of his tours. And that's how we kind of knew each other. And he called me. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm actually in the middle of recording a record. I'm writing, you know. And so on top of being a worship pastor, I also like write music. And I record music, worship music in Spanish. And he was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm recording this record. And he's like, well, he's like, I've been praying and asking God direction for our music institutes. And we've got them all over the world. And I just need a leader that is sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit that is going to lead this next generation of worshipers who are, you know, taking classes and they are learning how to be a better worshiper and not just a musician, but a better worshiper and a leader, you know, and they can go and serve back in their home churches with excellence and true devotion to the Lord. And he was like, and this is what's happening around the world. And I asked the Lord who that person was, and he gave me your name.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? I think you heard incorrect. You know, I don't know that I'm the person for you. Like, you know, in that moment, I just started doubting because I was like, I'm young, I'm single, you know. And, you know, typically the people that have that role in his company, you know, they're married and they have children and they have a family and they're well established and, you know, they've got a degree maybe to back it up. I don't know, you know. And so I didn't feel qualified at all, you know, when he called me and asked me to come on board. And so I asked him, I told him I'd pray. And so I did. And the more I prayed, the more the Lord confirmed that that's what he wanted me to do. And so he's like, Eunice, I've called you. I've called you to lead a generation of worshipers. Wow. And it's not just through song. It's not just through music. It's not just through what you write or standing on a platform at church every Sunday and leading worship. He was like, there's a voice inside of you. There's things inside of you that I've placed there with purpose. And those are the things that you need to release into the DNA of worshipers today, that they understand their true assignment as worshipers on this earth. And so like that just blew my mind in that moment. And I knew I couldn't deny the call. And so even though I didn't feel qualified, I knew that God was calling me. And so sometimes we feel like we have to be qualified for certain things in our lives. And God's like, no, you just have to be called by me, you know? And so I said, yes, I've been doing that for almost 4 years. I literally thought I was going to flop like day two. I was like, I'm going to flop for sure. I'm going to mess this up. They're going to fire me. Thankfully, that has not been the case. And what was, you know, schools all over the world today, we now have an online campus since I started there for almost 4 years ago. And then we also started this new branch called ICC Plus, which is now working with ministries and influencers, you know, in ministry that we're also very excited about. So a little bit about what I do and who I am is I'm a PK, I'm a worshiper. I am the CEO of Canción Institute of Music, which the schools are found, like I said, around the world. And I just love Jesus and I love people. And that's just a little bit of what I do.
That is so evident in you that you love Jesus and you love people. Like there's no doubt when anyone meets you that those are the two main things that stand out about you. So you mentioned that you grew up in the church and you've kind of shared what's been more recent, but one of my favorite questions to ask all my guests is like your foundation. Where did you get started? When did you surrender your life to Jesus and make your faith your own?
You know, it actually was at a very young age, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I always feel like I had an older soul. And I was a lot older, you know? So I remember I was 7 years old and I was in Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And the teacher started speaking about Jesus and that he had died on the cross for our sins. And, you know, as a kid, you don't really think like I'm a sinner, you know? As a kid, you're not thinking like, oh, I'm a terrible person,
right,
you know?
Right.
Typically an older person that's lived more life would think that, you know? And so she started speaking about the love of Jesus and that's where it captivated me. So it wasn't so much like the sinful part that I understood at the time, you know, that Jesus had come to die for our sins. It was more the, he loves us so much that he gave his only son. And I was like, wow, someone loves me that much that he gave his only son. I want to give my life to him. Mm. And it was at that age that I accepted Jesus. And at age 8, I got baptized. And I knew exactly what I was doing. I know a lot of people will argue that. You don't know what you're doing at that age. But I knew what I was doing. Like, I knew that I was giving my life to Jesus. Yeah. And from a very young age, I started serving the Lord. Like I mentioned a minute ago, I started leading and serving in my church at the age of just 11 years old, singing background vocals. And ever since then, I've been serving in my local church. But my foundation, I believe, started at that age, you know, like really like knowing Jesus. Of course, we go through things in life,
course,
you know, and, you know, our faith is tested.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't know, you know, we start asking more questions because we're growing up and we're maturing and we're reading the word and we no longer have a relationship with God through our parents or through our church or through ministry or because this is all I know, because I'm a PK that I was born underneath the bench of our church, you know, like that's all I know.
Yeah.
And so at some point you have to start really like asking yourself like, well, do you believe this because, you know, your parents taught you this? Or do you believe this because you heard it from your pastor? Or do you believe it because you've read my word and this is what I am revealing to you through my word and you have an authentic relationship with me? And so as I grew older, you know, I started establishing, you know, a more solid foundation. But I would say that it started pretty young for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just as encouragement to other people who have started their journey with Jesus at a young age, like it is very possible. I have a very similar story where I was also saved when I was really young. And so it's, there is a lot of sometimes negative comments made about, well, you don't really know what you're doing at that age, or you don't really understand, but it's a journey. Like all of our faith journeys have to start somewhere.
Right.
So for some people, it starts at an early age and some people it's later in life. It's just whenever you make that decision and then the rest is just a process that we continue to grow in our relationship with him. And so that's really cool. And something that I love is that you have used your voice, even from a young age, to glorify him and to worship and to lead other people into worship. But a really powerful story that you have is about your voice.
Yes. The reason why you hear this just beautiful, sexy voice today, so raspy, you know,
it's
all these
true.
Beautiful colors. there's actually a lot more to this texture in this voice. And so in 2008, 2000, mid-2007. I felt I was working at a community college. I was working as one of the main secretaries in the counseling center. I made really good money, you know, and I had full benefits insurance. I had, I think they gave me like free school even at the college. And I wanted to study psychology at the time. And so I started taking courses and my classes and working there full time. I had a sports car, like, you know, life was good. Yeah. You know, life was really good at a, you know, at a, and I, you know, I was only like 20, 21 at the time. And I didn't even know how I landed that job, but I trusted God that he'd give me the job, and I got the job. I ended up working there for a few years. And after a few years, the Lord said, okay, I want you to let it go. Hmm. He's like, I want you to serve me full time. And I was like, what? Like, who's going to pay my bills, you know? Who's going to, you know, pay this car note and all these different things? And so working there, answering phones all day and then singing, never having proper training, never knowing how to use your voice, your vocal cords, your breathing properly, which I didn't even know that speaking in itself can take a toll on your vocal cords. It's not just people think it's singing. It's actually speaking and yelling and the whispering that can hurt your vocal cords. And I had no idea. I'd never had any kind of training. And so a really long story short, my voice was tired. I was tired, and the Lord was calling me to serve him full time. And I had been writing songs, and I, you know, I was kind of on the fence. I didn't know if that's what I really wanted to do. And I trusted the Lord, but I did it, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, I trust you, but there's that human nature in us, you know, where like, oh, we trust you, Lord. And it's so easy to say, but when it comes to taking action, it's so difficult to actually like take the step of faith and really trust the Lord in the unknown. And so, I ended up leaving my job. I spoke with my parents at the time. I said, look, God's calling me to full-time ministry. I don't know what this looks like. And I said, but I'm going to serve him with all of my heart, and I'm going to trust that he's going to provide. And so shortly after I left that job, the Lord says, I want you to record these songs that I've placed in your heart that you've been writing. You're going to make this album. This is going to be the title. And so these are the people that you're going to speak to. And, you know, he just started placing everything in order. And so I started recording in the studio. This was already in 2008. And as I'm recording in the studio, I realized that something was off with my vocal cords, and that when I was singing and I was recording, something just wasn't right. I didn't like the way it sounded. And I was just struggling, and I could feel this fatigue, you know, in my vocal cords. And so I ended up finishing the album. There was a lot of tears involved in the process because of my voice. I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, I just kind of, you know, I'm Mexican, by the way. So, you know, Mexicans, we have this thing where like you just take a tea, you make a hot tea with honey, and everything is fine. You're fine.
Love it.
You're healed. You know, it's a Mexican thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I'm just going to take a tea. It's going to go away. I'm going to be fine. And so finally we released the album. And 2 weeks later, on this album, by the way, I was the first to actually have the official translation of Revelation song in Spanish at the time.
You were.
And so the album just started going out like it was hot bread, you know? Uh-huh. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, the Revelation song is in Spanish. And I was getting invited left and right to conferences, to places. And so the first 2 weeks, you know, that the album is out, I'm now in Mexico, in Monterrey, Mexico, at a large women's event, and I'm singing Revelation song on the platform, and I realized my voice can no longer give. Like, it's something is terribly off. I literally had to walk off stage.
Wow.
And as soon as I walk off stage, my mom was actually with me at that event, and she runs to me because she sees that I am in tears. She's like, what's going on? And I was like, I can't talk. You know, I'm like doing like hand signals, you know, that nothing was coming out. And so I thought maybe I'm just, you know, I'm hoarse. I overdid it. You know, I don't know what's going on. So the pastors had a friend of theirs that was a throat, ear, nose doctor.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I can schedule something for you tomorrow and see if they can see you. So the next day I went in, they did some tests and they ran some things and they're like, what does your daughter do? And my mom's like, well, you know, she just released a record and she sings. And they're like, she has severely damaged her vocal cords. Wow. And so, again, I grew up in church singing, small church. We had none of the equipment that we have today. Yeah. You know, the technology we have today to preserve our instruments, you know, like in-ear monitors, you know, just it wasn't the same, you know, at the time. And I had with time and just fighting with the sound, just I had literally damaged my vocal cords. Yeah. And then, of course, I was crazy teenager, always screaming, you know, and going to football games. Yeah. I was in band. I played the flute, you know, so we're always yelling and, you know, it's just crazy. Yeah. So I had just severely injured my vocal cords. And so they told my mom and they told me in that room that day, they're like, look, we can do a surgery, but we just don't know that she will ever be the same. We don't know that her voice will ever like be the same. And so I was like, what? I just released an album that was not cheap. Okay. Yeah. We haven't even touched that part of the process faith, you know, and where the Lord tested us, you know, in that area. And so I was like, we invested so much into this project and we're never going to see the return of it. Mm. So everything that I had lined up, all the events canceled.
Wow.
I had to cancel everything. No voice. I had to literally speak to the worship team, say, I'm not going to be singing for a while. And, you know, we're just going to see what happens, you know, as time goes by. And so literally it was like about a year, I want to say. And I just, nothing was changing and I was really frustrated. And I now know today, I didn't know then, but I now know today that I was battling like a silent depression. And I didn't know that at the time. I just thought, I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm just sad because, you know, I can't sing.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that there was something deeper, you know, in that moment happening. And so like a year passed, I'm so angry with God. And so one night I'm in my room and I'm like, Lord, I've been good to you. Mm. I have been a good daughter. Like I was born and raised in my church. I have served you from a young age. I gave you my life from a young age. This is how you repay me? This is what's left of me now? Now I can't even sing. I can't use my gifts and my talents for you. And I said, this isn't fair. You know, I do this and I do that. And I started just like, if God doesn't know what we do, right? Because the only reason we get to do anything that we do today is because of his mercy and his grace and his favor over our lives, right? Yeah. But in that moment, I just felt like this entitled little girl, you know, like, oh, I do this and I do that and I've done this. And I just started like raising up all my medals to him. Like, look at everything I've done, you know, and this is how you treat me, you know? And I just felt like, I mean, God doesn't slap us, but I feel like he slapped me, you know, like with his tender love. And in that moment, he just like he started speaking to me in my bedroom that one night and I was crying. I was so angry. I was biting my pillow, how angry I was. I was so angry. And so I remember the Lord just like speaking to me in that moment. And he's like, and he was like, why do you do what you do? Why do you sing? And I said, I sing for you. And he was like, do you really? Or do you like how it feels when people applaud you? Or do you like how it feels when people celebrate you because you have a position on a platform? He's like, is the glory truly mine? Mm-hmm. Or are you taking it for you? And that was a slap on the face because no one talks about that. Everyone wants the glory, but no one wants the story. No one wants to walk through the story. Everyone wants, you know, the celebration, the spotlight, all these things. They want to be, you know, number one. They want all these beautiful things, but there's a process, you know, that God has to take us through where he has to humble us before he exalts us. And I didn't understand that. And the only way he can exalt you, if there's true humility,
right?
The only way he can really entrust you with big platforms is if you can truly surrender your heart, your emotions, everything that you have, that you understand that the only reason you have it is because he placed his favor upon you. He placed his grace upon you. And it is only because of him and through him that we can do what we do. And all the glory is his at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, and in that moment, I began to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize this was in my heart. I didn't even realize that I was doing this because I felt the need to receive some kind of glory, or that I liked to be celebrated, or that I was receiving when people would applaud, you know, after every song, that I was taking it like, oh, you did a good job, Eunice. You did that. You sang great. And so in my story, Lindsay, it may have to do with singing, but someone that's listening to this podcast today, maybe for you, it's in another area. It's in another area in their life. It's in their business. It's in the things that God has called them to do. It may not have to do with like singing, but they're seeking the attention and the celebration and taking that from the Lord when it all belongs to him at the end of the day. And so I just literally fell into a moment of repentance and I surrendered to the Lord in that moment. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that, you know, I was even taking, you know, an ounce of your glory. So I came to this place of surrender and repentance in my room that night, because I understood that there was deeper issues in that moment. And you know, the Lord doesn't take away your gift, but the Lord can't put you on pause.
Yeah.
And he'll put you on pause because he wants to put you in check. He wants to make sure that as you're walking out the journey he's called you to walk through and in the things that he's entrusted you, that your heart remains pure and that you're anchored in his truth. You're anchored in him. That the things that you are doing are because you're working and operating through his spirit and his heart and all the things that you do. And so in that moment, I just said, Lord, forgive me. I didn't know that there was even an ounce of this in my heart. And I am being confronted in this moment. And so I am so sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Purify my mind, purify my heart. I felt like King David in that moment, you know, when he would surrender to the Lord. And many times we find it through the Psalms, you know, how he would continuously repent and come before the Lord. I just felt like David in that moment, like, wow, like the Lord has really confronted me in this moment. I fell asleep that night. I woke up the next morning and I woke up with a voice. Wow. It wasn't perfect, but I woke up with more than I had had in a year.
Yeah. What did that look like for you in your voice? Like, was it just very soft during that year, or like—
I mean, it was air. And so what happened is I had damaged my vocal cords to the degree where there was really no sound coming out. So it was even hard just to speak. So even the movement of words wasn't possible. So like my muscles and things, like there was like tissue and things like that that was just damaged. And so it was even just difficult, even enunciation, things like that, you know, were just very difficult. So when the Lord, when I started getting, you know, my voice back, I went back to speech therapy and learned how to speak all over again, how to use my air properly, my oxygen, you know, all those things. And, you know, I realized in speech therapy, because my speech therapist was Christian and she teaches a lot, you know, aligned with the word. And so she said something that impacted me and it just blew my mind. And she said, Eunice, you know, the Bible says that our tongue has the power to give life or to give death. There's so much power behind our words.
Yeah.
In our tongue. But she's like, but let me take you a little bit deeper Did you know that your tongue has anywhere in between 8, 10, 11 different muscles? And without those muscles in your tongue, you're not able to enunciate. You're not able to speak properly. And so those muscles, like, it takes effort, you know? And sometimes a lot of people that go through, you know, the process that you're walking through with your vocal cords, it means that you've manipulated and you have forced the sound and your muscles to do something that only oxygen is supposed to do. And so you've taken the control, you've taken it upon you and your strength to sing louder than what your voice is supposed to be, like the volume your voice is supposed to be. And so she started saying all these things that I just completely blew my mind. And she was like, and you know, in the same way, you know, we sometimes can bring death to our instrument because there's so much power in our tongue, physically, not just spiritually. And the Bible in this verse, it's speaking to us, you know, from a spiritual perspective, but there's a physical part to this scripture that a lot of people don't understand, because the way God created our mouth, our tongue, all those things, it's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
And so I learned so much about my instrument, even just going through this process, and the Lord started healing my vocal cords. I never got surgery. I do have like a scar on my right vocal cord. And that's why you guys hear this beautiful raspy voice today. The doctor said, you know, we can inject steroids, you know, that'll kind of alleviate the raspiness. And so, you know, I just started asking the Lord one day, you know, I was going to an event and I was going to minister. I was going to sing at this event. And the person that picked me up was like, "You're the singer?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "Oh, your speaking voice sounds nothing like your singing voice." Like, they even made a face. And I was so upset. I didn't show it at the moment, but when I got to the hotel room, I was so upset. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, your word says that, like, everything that you begin, you are faithful to complete." Mm-hmm. And so you began a good work in me. You began my healing. I'm almost there. I believe that you're going to heal me completely and you're going to take away that scar. And then he was like, "No, I did heal you." He's like, "That scar is so that you never forget that the glory will always be mine."
That's so cool.
When you're on the platform, when you are singing, when people begin to clap, when people begin to worship and scream, none of it's for you. None of it. You are the vessel in which I get to pour myself out and through you so that others can encounter my love, encounter my presence. And I was like, all right, I give up on the having the perfect voice and the clear, you know, nice high pitch, you know, sound. And so, you know, the Lord did something, you know, in my vocal cords, and I'm so grateful that the Lord brought that healing. And I'm a testament that if you can truly surrender, you know, your gift, your talent to the Lord, the Lord can do some really awesome things through you. And honestly, that was just the beginning, even though, like, that's a really, like, powerful testimony. That was just the beginning of a lot of things that the Lord has done through the years in my life. And I'm just so grateful, you know, to the Lord that he would see me capable of walking through a process like that, you know, and that I could share that story today.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I've told you this several times before, but I love the rasp in your voice. I think it's so cool.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I've only known you with a raspy voice, but it's like such a cool and unique part of you. And especially whenever you hear that story, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's God. That's so cool. But I also love that, you know, you don't just use your voice to sing, but you also speak in places and not just on a stage, but you also, like, even in our friendship, like, you speak life into people. Thankfully, I've been able to benefit from that, just the way that you hear from the Lord and he speaks through you. Like, you using your voice in more ways than one has been such an encouragement to me, and I know to so many other people.
Yeah, I mean, I never saw myself as a speaker, you know, but I feel like sometimes the Lord will push you into things because you'll never do it on your own. Like, you'll never get out of your comfort zone. Like, I feel like my comfort place is singing. I can do that with my eyes closed, you know, literally, because I worship.
right.
I mean, when it comes to speaking, that does not come natural to me. I know people hear me and I sit with you and friends and I speak and I share and I love talking, but I feel like talking and communicating and sharing the word are two very different things. Like talking with friends and then sharing the word are like two different things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I take that very seriously, but I feel like the Lord has really like pushed me into that place more and more as the years have gone by. And I love that, you know, when the Lord pushes us out of our comfort zone, we're able to see, wow, like there's so much more, you know, that I didn't even know the Lord had for me and that I was capable of. And that only comes like you getting out of your comfort zone, you know, and really trusting God in that. And so, I would say one of those things is, I'd say speaking, you know, has definitely been one of those things where God has challenged me and really encouraged me. I wouldn't maybe use the word push, but he's definitely strongly encouraged me to do, you know, and I love it. You know, I love that we can be a voice and a vessel, you know, wherever we go.
Yeah. And you do that so beautifully, which is also really encouraging. So what is kind of the next things that you have going on that the Lord is using you and that you're able to use your voice?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now, obviously I'm working with a Canción Institute of Music, and we're currently working on, you know, new programs, you know, to help the schools, the students. But as far as me personally with like projects, I feel like I just came out of a season of writing music from a place of grief, you know, from everything that we've been going through as a family with my dad's passing. And so for some reason, every time I'd go to his garden, we call his gravesite his garden.
Yeah.
And every time I've gone to his garden, just the Holy Spirit like literally comes and embraces me in that moment, but also begins to just release like lyrics, you know? And I started writing music that was very much outside of my comfort zone because I've always just done worship music. But I started to write songs that was not worship music, you know? Songs that were very poetic, you know, I guess, you know, more in that side of music and creative space. And I released a couple of songs, you know, this past year and a half from that place in my heart. And so this year, I really felt the Lord say, and I've placed within you a new song, you know, of worship. And so this is the time to begin, you know, writing what I'm placing in your heart, you know, worship songs, worship music. And so I'd say that what's next is more worship music, which I'm very excited about. Our church is also, we're looking at releasing a project as well, worship music. And we're releasing worship music as well with Canción Institute of Music on a global scale. So I'm excited about that. So there's a lot of music coming, you know, with that. So yeah, there's a lot of exciting things coming up, and I'd say that's kind of like what's next.
Well, that is amazing. And I love what God is doing in and through you. But Eunice, I have one last question for you. And it's what I ask everyone on this podcast. What is a great thing that you're into right now?
Right now, I'm into Gennaro Sierra, which is my fiance.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm getting married in a month. I'm really excited about that. And yeah, I'm like planning a wedding. It's so weird to even say out loud.
It's crazy. You know?
Yeah. Cause I went through a season, a really long season, a really, really, really long season of being single, you know, but also I went through a season where I was in a very, unhealthy relationship. I really did feel at some point, like I'm just going to have to to settle for whatever I can get, you know, because it's just not happening. There's like no fish left in the sea. Lord knows where they went, you know. You kind of feel like that when you're single and you see everyone around you mm-hmm. getting into relationships and they're getting married and then they're having children. And you're like, what about me, Lord? What happened? You know, did you skip me? You know, and no, like I've realized now more than ever. And I feel like this can be a testament to any single people that are listening to us on this podcast, you know, that God has not forgotten you. As a matter of fact, he's reserving you for the right person. He's protecting you for the right person. And even when you go through very difficult relationships and you come out of them, you almost feel like you're not going to be able to overcome that hurt and that pain, the Lord allows you to remember that because he wants you to taste how good it is when he finally releases that person, that blessing, you know, that person that he's reserved for you in your life. And so now I understand. Now it all makes sense. The timing of everything too, you know, had I found someone years ago, my mom would have been alone in the season that we're in as a family. You know, my sisters are married, they have kids. And, you know, I don't know what would have been of this season. Like, just God knows what he does, when he does it, why he does it. And we just have to trust him even when we're walking this place of this journey of being single, you know. And honestly, you know, I feel like a lot of times they talk about, well, you know, you're single and you're waiting. You know, you're single and waiting. I'm like, no. You're single and you should be thriving. You should be living. Yeah. You should be doing. You should be traveling. You should be pursuing your dreams. You should be fulfilling. Like, you're not just on pause, you know, because you're single. Exactly. No, you know, like, go after what God has called you to do. This is actually the best time to go for all the things that God has called you to do without reservations. Don't hold back, you know. And I'm glad I was able to do that for many years. You know, I traveled around the world and I got to meet so many beautiful people and ministries, connect with different churches and just different things that God allowed me to live and experience. I would have never have been able to have experienced that had I just put my life on pause because, oh, well, I'm single and waiting, you know, and poor me. No, great for you, you know, like that's a beautiful time of our lives to live and to thrive. Yes. And I know it sounds easier said than done because when you look around you, and sometimes the loneliness can be overwhelming, but man, like if there's anything that I can say today now being in this season is that I'm grateful that I never just paused and said, well, I'm just going to wait until that person comes and then I can live my life. You know, I'm glad I never did that. I'm glad I lived. I pursued my dreams. And as a female, I was always afraid that if I did too much, someone would be intimidated by me, that someone would not want me because I was going to be too much. I was going to be too much and too much. They were going to feel like it was too much of a responsibility. My dreams were too big for them and my dreams were only like meant for me. And so that was going to push people away. And so I'm not going to do too much and I'm not going to pursue wanting to do this in my life because if someone comes in, I'm just going to push them away further and they're going to get scared. It was just, it was weird, but these thoughts are real, you know, in a lot of girls and young women today. And man, that's far from the truth. Yeah. Zero intimidation with my guy. Like he just embraced me for who I am, as I am. I didn't even know the level of comfort that comes with finding the right person. They just let you be and you can be who you are. No, you don't have to be anything else other than who God has called you to be. And it's a beautiful thing to live. And so if anyone's listening to this podcast and you're going through that season of your life where you're like, man, you know, I'm single and I'm still here in this waiting period. Don't just put your life on pause. Live it up.
Yeah.
Live, go and do everything God's called you to do. And God has the time, the person, the place, everything already preordained. I really do believe that.
Yeah.
You know, I know that people say, oh, well, you choose. you choose who you want to be. And yes, there's a lot of truth to that. And that's why a lot of people have made mistakes along the way, because they didn't wait on the Lord, like, to bring that person into their lives. And so we can make mistakes along the way, absolutely. But I also believe that God has someone for us. I really do. The same way that he created Eve for Adam, I believe that God has your John, your, I don't know, Jose, you know, whatever, you know. And for the gentlemen that are listening to this podcast, you know, he has your Ashley or your Lindsay Herring. But I do believe that. And so it's a beautiful season. I'm excited about this season, but I hope someone finds hope in that today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so excited for you. And that's such a good word. So thank you for sharing that with
us. Absolutely.
I'm just so grateful for you and for our friendship. And thank you for taking the time to chat on the couch with me about the great things that God has done in your life.
Absolutely. Let's do it again.
I wish I had more time to talk with Eunice because she has so many amazing stories. I love her humility and the way that she wants God to be glorified through her story. We all have unique stories that the Lord has written for us. If you've been around for more than one episode, you know that I always ask each guest their salvation story because it's the most important decision we can ever make. More than the person we marry or the college we choose to attend or job we decide to take, it's so much more important. It affects not only our lives here on earth, but our eternity. Our salvation story starts the moment we come to the realization that we are imperfect humans who can't do life apart from Jesus. We need Jesus because he's literally the only way to life. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me." That means that if we want God, we must choose Jesus, to surrender our lives to him because he surrendered his for us on a cross. Thankfully, he rose from the dead 3 days later and promised that we can live in abundance. I could go on and on, but if you'd like to know more about how you can have a real personal relationship with Jesus, we want to tell you more. Just head over to greatthings.fm/resources. While you're there, you can also submit prayer requests and check out more about the show and guests. If you're not subscribed already, hit the follow button on Spotify, Apple, or however you listen to your podcasts. Feel free to also connect on socials. All the links from today are in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll be back next week for more great things.